Today we've got an interview right away with some folks who were involved in the Critical Mass on the last Critical Mass that happened,
right, 26th of May.
What else is going on?
Well, then we're going to be talking to Mr. Jeffrey Young, who's actually the news director here at CKUW, who's in New Orleans right now for his second bout of doing some really excellent things, and helping people get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about some events coming up.
Run for Rights, I think.
Run for Rights, yes. Yeah. We have an interview with a lovely woman named Louise.
With
a last name, I'm sure.
I'm sure she's got a last name, too.
But right now, we're going to just call her Louise.
It's a secret last name
right
now.
It is. So, we'll...
Should we just get to it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So joining me in the studio is Kelly Ross and Kelly McKinnon, who were both participants in the last Critical Mass that happened in the city on the 26th of June. Yeah.
Of May.
Yeah. The next one in June is going to be on the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So... we're gonna, I guess we did some coverage on Critical Mass last week, and we're gonna continue it because it's a pretty important and pressing topic in the and current topic in the city. And not only, I guess, are we addressing fossil fuel usage, the right that cyclists have to the road, things like that, but also police brutality, police oppression, misuse of authority, all that stuff. It's a pretty broad ranging one. So I guess we can start off. Kelly McKinnon, do you want to talk a bit about your experiences on the May Critical Mass?
Sure. Yeah. I guess the first 45 minutes of the ride was going pretty well. I think the motorists had a pretty positive response to us, mm-hmm. and I think everyone kind of had a different mindset. So everyone seemed to be having a great time and, yeah. you know, just kind of enjoying the weather and enjoying the ride. And so, yeah, I thought things were going pretty well. And I guess as we were turning down, I think, close to Fort Street, I noticed a bike cop that was there. Yeah, and so then they seemed to kind of trail off. So, mm-hmm. But as then, like, I didn't see any sort of, like, cop presence at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when we, I forget what street we hit, but they tried to block us. Mm-hmm. And they were essentially blocking traffic because we had the right to the road and we had a green light and they weren't letting us through and they were just trying to pull people. Yeah, so then that happened. And then when we got to... near Donald Street on Broadway, that's when just everything started happening, and it happened all really quickly too. Yeah, I think my experience was, I guess, when we first piled on a person who was getting pulled off their bike, mm-hmm. And they kind of decided that you know, they were trying to pull him away, and then right. they kind of all, like, stepped back, and mm-hmm. they said, okay, well, we're not interrupting your ride. Why don't you get up and go?
Yeah.
So we said, well, you know, like, allow us a safe passage then. And they did, but not to the person that we were trying to hold.
Right.
So we didn't want to stay there forever, and we weren't quite sure where to go from then or from there. So, yeah, so when we got up, that's when everything started happening. I noticed one cop, like, I think... just the look in his face, he was just like extremely, extremely, like, you know, angry and just started tackling people off their bikes and right. just like slamming people to the ground. And I guess kind of what I saw the most of was someone getting put in a chokehold and pulled backwards by an undercover cop who we found out later, but didn't reveal themselves as an undercover cop and didn't identify themselves. So he got pulled back, and then about six officers piled on him, and his head was being slammed on the curb. And he was obviously in a lot of pain, and they were contorting his arms, and he wasn't resisting at all.
Yeah.
I don't even know why they did that. He was just standing on the road.
Yeah.
So my experience with that was I was watching that, and I was kind of questioning them, like, what are you doing? Like, he's not resisting you. You're assaulting him. Like, and why are you detaining him? And just kind of getting on them about that. And then all of a sudden, a cop kind of put me in, like, a bear hug from behind across my face. And mm-hmm. as he was bringing one arm around, he ended up punching me in the face and knocking off my glasses and just pulled me down. So when another cop was pulling me up, I think they were putting their hand behind my back, and I just pulled away, and I said, what are you arresting me for? I didn't do anything. You guys just tackled me down because I was observing what was going on. So then they just told me to get on the sidewalk. And then the other thing that I saw going on at that time was that same undercover cop trying to start fights with people.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of when everything happened on Donald Street. That's kind of what I was seeing the most of at that time.
Okay. And so you were very clearly assaulted by a police officer. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing the aftermath. I was along for that ride as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a punch in the face. You're bleeding from the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you confronted the police officer that did it to you.
Yeah.
And what was the response?
I think I remember he was talking to someone else. I don't know if it was you or someone else about like responsibility and being accountable. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, you assaulted me. Like, how are you gonna, you know, make yourself accountable to that?
Mm-hmm.
And he denied that it was him, and he apologized for it, but he said that he wasn't one of the officers that was. He's like, I wasn't even near you. I didn't touch you. But right. he was. Like, there was two other officers that were there. I could identify two of them, and he was one of them. So yeah, he just kept denying it and, you know, playing the card that he was a good person and
yeah.
and trying to be, you know, reasonable and that sort of thing, and, you know, playing the other card of that he, you know, he was doing his job and that sort yeah. of thing. So yeah, just completely denying it and not yeah. you know, owning up to it.
Yeah.
So
well, and the thing that I remember the most about that conversation, because I was sort of right there, and he kind of slunk off to get away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cornered him to start talking to him again. And then you were able to catch up with him. But because he kept denying it and he kept saying, you know, like, I would never do that. I'm a good person, you know, like, you know, and like, you shouldn't judge me because I'm a cop,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, like all kinds of people are cops on, on, like the all the kind of, standard lines. And then you asked him, you said, okay, well, if you didn't do it, who did it? Like
mm-hmm.
you were standing, like there was only three cops, that were around, like who did it?
Yeah.
Like if you didn't do it, you obviously saw who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was all like, I don't know if I could say, like, and it was just like, at that point I was just all like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like anything that you're talking about being like trustworthy and like mm-hmm. all that stuff is just out the window. And I told him that and I just walked away. The police response, was quite interesting. The interesting thing I think about this cop is that there seemed to be signs of like cracking.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sure. like he was just all like, he was in that when he was like cornered in that kind of like environment, he mm-hmm. was super uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I think they were all uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like even when things started happening, like they panicked, like they don't, they're so hypocritical to the directions that they give us as well. Like I was, my bike was on the sidewalk and I wanted to go get my bike and a cop wasn't letting me pass him. But then other cops are telling me to get off the road. And then this other cop came up and pushed me behind and kind of sandwiched me like between the two. And I was like, well, then you guys decide what you want me to do because I'm getting different directions here. So you guys can decide. Like it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like they...
Well, in fact, it's kind of indicative of the direction that we get when we go out on the rides, you know, like there's really, they're simply out there to ticket people, and to like haul people down. I remember a ride I went on 2 years ago, where we actually we rode single file down the street and only took up one lane, but took the lane as we're entitled to.
Yeah, for sure.
But rode single file. They stopped us and we're all like, you know, you're this line is way too long. Like this line of bikes is way, way too long. You need to start riding.
How many people were there on the ride?
I think on that ride there's maybe 50.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all like, you have to start riding two abreast down the lane. And we're all like, you know,
that's
like
this, illegal.
Well, exactly. And they're all like, just do it. And of course when we started doing it, that's when people started getting hauled off their bikes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, you know, so it was this, it's this constant, like, it's entrapment is what it is. You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, even when he was reading me the traffic act, basically, and telling me that I'm blocking traffic. I'm like, well, we are traffic.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't get it. And I heard some cops talking about they feel bad for the motorists that are trying to get out to the cabin for the weekend and that they're going to be stuck in traffic.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's unreal. And I just, you know, like, when I think about Sunday night cruise night.
Yeah.
Like, the past several years, like, I don't know, something like four or five people have died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and when I'm biking home on a Sunday or whatever, like, I don't see, like, I hardly see any cops. And the other times that the cops show up is when, you know, there's a critical mass during cruise night. Like, it's unreal.
Yeah. Kelly Ross.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
So you were one of the people that actually were taken to the public safety building.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak a bit about that?
Sure.
Okay.
I was in the wagon with, I guess, eight other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, eight other people. And once we got to the public safety building, I asked, are we all arrested or are we all detained? And they said, oh, we haven't really decided that yet. They said, you might be arrested on with assault charges or mischief or something like that. And they didn't know. And I didn't know at the time that my right is that if I'm not arrested, I'm allowed to walk, and I'm also not required to say anything to them until I'm arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate that I didn't know that right, because they took me into a cell, and I was treated fairly, and I wasn't hurt or anything like that. And I was in my cell for 2 hours, over 2 hours, and that entire time I still wasn't told if I was facing criminal charges if I was arrested. So when my officer did come to chat with me and release me, she told me that I was the only one not facing criminal charges. I was the only one not arrested. And she let me go. She took me over to the elevator, and then her boss came up to her and said, "Where are you going with her? You can't take her out there." And she's like, "Well, we're releasing her through the back door." And he said, "No, I don't think so." And he put me back in my cell. And I was there for about another 15 minutes. And then she came back and asked me if I wanted to voluntarily have my photograph taken to see if to prove that I didn't have any bruises on my face. And I said, no, I would not like to volunteer having my photograph taken. So I waited another 15 minutes while she wrote down in her notebook that I wasn't physically harmed. And then she told me that she was going to drive me home. And I said, well, that's a little bit ridiculous because my keys are lying on Broadway somewhere. I don't have my keys. So if you take me home, I won't be able to get in and I'm going to have to walk back downtown. And they said, if you show up downtown again tonight, you will be put back in your cell in the safety building. And yeah, and you won't be getting out for the entire night. So luckily my neighbors were home when I arrived at my house and they let me in.
And so between the two of your experiences, at a critical mass, have you received any continuing police surveillance or noticed any, continued police surveillance or harassment or anything like that?
Yeah, we both have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, the night after critical mass, I was riding my bicycle home at about 10 after 3 a.m. and it was on Broadway. Right near where the arrests happened the day before, and the officer followed me for a few blocks and pulled me over and asked me for my name and where I was headed, and generally I wouldn't have answered the questions and I would have asked for a badge number and given them a little bit of a harder time, but because it was 3 a.m. and they probably recognized me, I didn't want to test the waters. And since that incident, I've been obviously monitored by a few police vehicles. As I'm riding my bike, they drive by me slowly, or they might come and pass me a few times, checking me out.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, do you want to say?
Sure, yeah. I guess I've had two kind of, experiences. One was I was not even cycling. I was walking down Ellis, and there was a cop car and a paddy wagon that passed me. And as the paddy wagon was passing by and turning onto Ellis, the actual cop that did assault me and that I confronted was in the paddy wagon, and the back there, the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I think, four or five other officers in there. And he recognized me, and they stopped mid-turn and just stared me down. And so, obviously just harassing me, why would they do that? So, so I kept walking, and then they drove slowly kind of along Ellis and then turned on to Hargrave, and then I kept walking down Ellis Street, and the cop car that was in front of the paddy wagon had swung around and kind of caught up with me and just kind of sat there and watched me. And a couple days ago I was biking to work, and I passed a parked cop car.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I passed them, I didn't realize that they were following me, because I noticed that they were sitting there, obviously. So
right.
As I was turning down a street, I looked over my shoulder just before I turned, and they were following me, and they followed me right to my place of work. And, I got off my bike to go into work, and they kind of stopped and just stared at me and was kind of checking me out and checking out my workplace. And then just kept going. And I've noticed, too, just walking around in my neighborhood, that the same cop car has passed me two or three times or whatever, just on my way running errands and stuff like that. So they're obviously monitoring people, and I don't know if they recognize me or if they're, I'm sure they're just targeting anyone on bikes.
Cyclists.
Basically.
Yeah. The undercover cops were mentioned a little while back, and mm-hmm. I think it's important that the stuff he brought up, mm-hmm. in particular, why were there undercover cops,
mm-hmm.
at that area? Why did they just happen to be at that area at that time? And also, they were clearly the one undercover cop was clearly trying to pick fights with people,
mm-hmm. like, and
was,
posing to be a motorist, yeah. too, like mm-hmm. not revealing. Yeah,
yeah, and also after the altercation went down, refused to give his badge number, mm-hmm. told right. people he wasn't a cop. Mm-hmm. You know, there was all this kind of nonsense that was going on. Mm-hmm. And so I think these are questions that definitely need to be posed to. Post the community to the police force and also to City Hall. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, there is a, I believe there's a meeting at City Hall on Monday, June 12th.
Yeah.
9 which, a.m. yeah, which is a, it's a, it's not a press conference, as I heard it advertised as such, but in fact, it's a public safety policy meeting or some such thing.
Yeah, it's a committee meeting. Like, yeah. The city council is composed of about 15 people, and then from council they have committees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a regular committee meeting, and the public is invited to go watch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That and that's standard.
Right, but you can actually speak. You can actually address the committee if you call and register ahead,
yeah.
of, ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what's on the agenda.
I think there's a lot of organizations dealing with, like, police brutality towards First Nations people.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of organizations are speaking about that. I think some people that participated in Critical Mass were also trying to talk to them. And because it is a larger issue, right? Like,
yeah.
it's not just Critical Mass. Like, this happens all the time, right? So, so I think that will be dealt with. So I think that's kind of where we kind of tie into that.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of running out of time. Any final thoughts or discussion bits?
Well, I guess like we were talking about before, I'll be quick. What's happened the past month has made me and most other people in my community feel extremely unsafe. Around the people that are supposed to be keeping us safe, the police force. And I just wonder if, you know, if they're the ones that are, you know, hurting us, who's there to save us?
Yeah.
You know, it's their job to keep us safe, apparently. But I've never felt so scared in the streets before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, too, I was kind of concerned that with all this going on, that people were not going to show up to the next Critical Mass.
Yeah.
But from what I've been hearing, people are even more so, you know, willing to come out and tell as many people as they can and bring video cameras and whatever they can do. Because I think it's really important to, you know, keep Critical Mass going.
Yeah.
And also, too, the police are trying to set up a meeting with us. And us being, I guess, participants in Critical Mass, they obviously don't understand the leaderless kind of group. So I think, too, that we need to do it on our terms, and we need to let them know our demands and not kind of, you know, give up anything or make any compromises for what it stands for.
And not be apologetic.
No, exactly.
Is a key there as well. And speaking of the public, I think there has been quite a bit of decent media coverage on this, not only from the community media sources, but also as well from it's definitely been varied, but mm-hmm. from the mainstream or the quote unquote mainstream sources in the city, the Sun and the mm-hmm.
yeah,
and
the Sun's Press. Actually been really great to me. Yeah. I've been in contact with someone there.
Yeah,
and even in Victoria too, there was mention about it.
Yeah,
CNN.
Was there mention on CNN?
Yeah,
on the little the scrolling bar at the bottom. The next day after Critical Mass.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I think we're probably gonna break for some music. What are we gonna play?
Are we gonna
play Sleater-Kinney, Christine Fells? What are we playing? I don't know.
Thumbs
I'm just
up. Thumbs up to one of the two.
Thumbs up to
one of them. What is it?
Yeah, there's gonna be some Christine Fellows and some Sleater-Kinney.
All right.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, you guys.
Yeah, all right. You're tuned in Black Mass, Frequency of Resistance on CKW 95.9 FM.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM, Community Access Radio.
can't believe the daylight. Naked thoughts to bed and ask you in the morning.